In the new book, Superman, the high-flying history of America's most enduring hero, prize-winning journalist and New York Times bestselling author Larry Tighe has written the first full-fledged history, not just of the Man of Steel, but of the creators, designers, owners, and performers who made him the icon he is today. It's a great pleasure to welcome Larry Tighe back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
It's a great pleasure being back with you.
Give us a sense of what brought you to the subject of Superman.
Two things brought me here. One was the idea that I was intrigued by why we as Americans embrace the heroes that we do. And I decided one way to look at that was to look at our longest lasting hero of the last century at Superman. And I thought that he would tell us something not just about himself, but about us. That was a serious reason. The other reason was that I wanted to be 10 years old again, and there's nothing quicker to take you back to your 10-year-old days than calling at work every day when you read comic books, when you watch ancient TV shows starring Superman, when you watch old movies. It's a heck of a way to make a living, and I had a blast and felt like 10 for the last 2 years.
So bring us back almost 8 decades ago of how this character came to be, because there really has never been a time where this character was not popular.
So I'd like to tell you two stories. One is the idea that in 1938, when America was in the midst of the Great Depression and on the eve of World War II, we desperately needed a hero. And Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, his artist sidekick buddy, had been trying for 5 years to sell this story, and when they got it on the newsstands, finally, in a comic book called Action Comics, sales were wild, and it was just the perfect moment. There may never have been a more perfect moment in publishing than a hero the country needed at just the right moment. That's the upfront story, and the ones that many of your listeners will know. The story that I didn't know until in my research I came across Jerry Siegel's unpublished memoir is what brought Jerry to write this character. And he tells in his memoir an extraordinary story of a kid who every day went out on the playground, and this young boy named Jerry Siegel was a little bit too short, he was a little bit too round, and he had glasses that were a little bit too much like Coke bottles. And the kids would taunt him on the playground every day, yelling, "Seagull, seagull, birds of an eagle." Now, I have no idea what that means, but I know if you're a little boy in the playground and all the other boys are yelling that at you and all the girls are watching, what you wish you could do is fly away. And instead what he did was every night he went to bed with a pencil and paper, and he would write out stories of a hero that he thought could help him fight back against the bullies. And it was a hero he called the Super-Man, a not very nice guy who had very strong powers and who was just what a kid that age, a teenage kid, would come up with as his kind of antidote to the bullies. And that was the way Superman looked until Jerry got to be 17 years old. And shortly after his 17th birthday, one day, three big men walked into the old haberdashery, the used clothing store that Michael Siegel, Jerry's father, ran. And these guys walked out with a suit without paying. Michael chases them to the door. On the threshold, he has a massive heart attack and drops dead. And suddenly, Jerry is bereft. He's lost his dad. He's lost his hero. And shortly after that, one night, he goes to bed with his trademark pencil and paper, and he redoes the story of the Super-Man. He drops the, he drops the hyphen, and he drops the bad guy act. And suddenly the story he runs across the street the next morning to show his buddy Joe Shuster, and that Joe draws, the story in Joe's drawing is a story of a hero winging in to save a man who looks a whole lot like Michael Siegel, who is being robbed. So the point of all of this is, next time any of your listeners watch or read anything about Superman, they should think of a bullied boy, a boy who's lost his dad, and in very personal terms, this is what the story of Superman has been about these 75 years.
Because this is the character that we all want to be, someone who is able to protect the innocent, punish the wicked, and ultimately save the day.
And somebody, if you look anything like I do, somebody who the girls will look at and see,
right,
that in the inside of that mild-mannered, nerdy-looking guy, there really is a superhero.
when you read this book, you get the idea of how incredibly and how masterfully this character has evolved for our times. It has always been, as I said, there really has never been a point where this character was not popular, and it is through an evolution and through a Zelig-like quality that Superman has to be the man of pretty much any generation.
Well, you're right. You're actually half right. And so I like to say that Superman, which is not bad.
No, yeah, I like to say that, better than most for me, yes.
I like to say that Superman has evolved more than the fruit fly. In the 30s, when America was mired in this depression, we wanted a butt-kicking New Deal liberal, and that's what we got. In the 40s, we were going to war, and we got a hero who helped take us to war. In the 50s, we were chasing the Reds, and we got a hero who was out there looking for a communist everywhere he could find one. So over the years, you're right, Superman, in a Zelig-like way, has given us precisely the hero that was right for that moment. And yet, as much as that was half the key to his success, the other half was exactly the opposite. It was his constancy and his purity. The idea that Superman, more than any hero out there, more than the dark hero Batman, more than the fraught hero Spider-Man, Superman stood for the forces of light and for instinctively knowing the difference between right and wrong. And so he changed on the outside to look like a hero for our times, and he maintained that constancy, almost Dudley Do-Right sense of right and wrong that I think is something that we continually go back to, and I think we're going to go back to today because we're in a situation a whole lot like what Jerry gave us in 1938. We're mired in an economic doldrum. We've got too many foreign entanglements, and we want a hero who plain and simple knows right from wrong.
What does it say about us? What does it say about Hollywood that this is a character they keep on coming back to? So you have the original serials, you have the television show, of course the popular chain of films that Christopher Reeve did, and then they reboot it. It doesn't go over incredibly well, and just a few years later now, we have a brand new movie, Man of Steel, opening with a Brit playing Superman. So what does it say that we keep on going back to this well?
It says the same thing, I think, that explains why we keep going back to tales in the Bible that were written thousands of years ago, or Greek and Roman mythology. When somebody comes up with a story that captures in it not just tension and drama and fun, but real essential values of what makes us mankind, what makes us flawed but striving for more perfection, when somebody comes up with a story as good as Jerry Siegel did in 1938, we'll go back to it in every new incarnation. We may even be willing to go back to it, and this would be the ultimate, accepting the idea that this all-American hero is played by a guy who happens to be British. And over the years, in not-so-subtle ways, Superman's handlers have been telling us that Superman is, in fact, a global hero. They translated him from the earliest days into dozens of languages, and I've met people who grew up in Serbia and in Buenos Aires and all across the globe who felt Superman was theirs as much as he is ours. And I think Warner Brothers is out not just to make a great movie, but is out to make a billion-dollar-plus movie that will be the summer blockbuster, and I hope they do.
When you think of how this character has been portrayed, obviously there's the comic book angle at when, you know, they killed him off in the 90s, and then you have the TV shows, as I mentioned, with George Reeves, and then of course Smallville was very popular, and then you have the film adaptations. My question being, Does it all fit in the sense of, is there sort of a monitoring of the franchise to make sure that that character is taken care of and they don't screw it up?
So the answer is yes, as a monitoring. DC Comics has its Superman experts, generally on the movie set, making sure that nobody messes with the character. The character is more important than any one incarnation. But in terms of why it fits from all those eras, you're asking it of me at an interesting moment, because I'm going out in a little over a week to L.A. to a museum where I'm going to be talking about Superman with, as my sidekicks, Jack Larson, who played Jimmy Olsen in the George Reeves TV series,
yeah.
Dick Donner, who directed the best of the Chris Reeve films, and Jeff Johns, who's the current creative director at DC Comics. And I think what unites those three people is the same thing that unites Superman over the generations and in the various media forms, which is they all appreciate the essence of this character, and they appreciate that there's only so far that they can stretch him. They can tell new aspects of the story like Smallville did, but if they stretch too far, they get beyond who the real Superman is. And it's almost like this was a flesh-and-blood character who you've got to remain true to make the story work.
And that flesh-and-blood character, we relate to it, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems to be the Brandon Routh character that was done a few years ago, the film, perhaps was really the only time that this has seen failure, isn't it?
There aren't many times that it's seen failure, and there were certain stories in the comic books over the years that they could reverse. What they give us one day, when they kill Superman off in the 1990s in the comic books, the only people, ironically, who were really worried about that were the honchos at Time Warner, who called in a panic and said, "How are you killing off our billion-dollar character?" And they may have been the only people on the planet who didn't understand that what comic book writers give you one day, take away one day, they can give you back the next day, and
sure,
that nobody ever planned to kill Superman off other than a very temporary thing. But the answer is they haven't. It's extraordinary in all these years that they've made so few mistakes. And even the Brandon Routh version, that made $400 to $600 million around the world, and not bad. Only it was only considered a failure because they had such high hopes for Superman, and that's why Brandon Routh never came back, and why we're getting this new British one this summer. And Warner Brothers is convinced that they have hit gold this time.
Hit gold in the sense that it can become a franchise again. They can do what they did with Batman, bring this character back, and make him cinematically appealing to a generation.
Yes, do what they did with Christopher Reeve and bring him back four times. And now, in fact, of his four films, only two of them were good. But the fact is that Chris Reeves was enough identified with Superman that they could make four films, and that's what they hope to do with Henry Cavill. If it's just one film, even if it does well, that's not nearly enough for them.
Right. Because you also have to sell the stuff, right?
They will sell more stuff. Superman pioneered the notion of synergistic marketing, of selling not just lunchboxes and pajamas, but everything out there, selling the character in as many media as you can. And that's what Warner Brothers is determined to do again this time, and that's why they want him back again and again.
The name of the book, Superman, The High-Flying History of America's Most Enduring Hero. The book is now out in paperback from Random House. Larry Tye, a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
I really appreciate having me.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Superman, The High-Flying History of America's Most Enduring Hero. The book is published by Random House. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.